Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, joined now on a Wednesday, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off today. Nate is in. Sal Capaccio now on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, Sal. We got a long time here still until a game. I feel like it's the off season again.
Yeah, for sure. Can I start with something for you first? Good morning,
sure.
To you.
Morning,
buddy. You went viral. I mean, holy cow!
I know. I went viral. Did not expect in any way that was going to go viral.
It's usually how it goes, to be honest.
Yeah, the viral tweet of Patrick Mahomes leads the NFL in interceptions that have been called back by penalties. Yeah, a lot of people jumped on that.
I mean, Bill Barnwell wrote about your tweet yesterday.
Bill Barnwell wrote about what you tweeted
and like did a deep dive into it and like went all through like all of these different plays and what exactly happened and crazy, man.
Yeah, I liked what Bill wrote, by the way. Like he added context to the number was 17. Mahomes has thrown 17 picks in his career that were overturned, but I think he had, what was it, like 8 of them were offside plays. Which you can automatically
free play. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And then, so there were a few still, 9 or something that were real penalties, but that the rate wasn't like too different than a lot of other guys. So, yeah. Bengals fans were the ones I think that made it go viral.
But. Oh, okay. Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
how many
were pretty upset.
People, though, did you get like completely hammered by Chiefs fans coming at you?
I'm the type of guy, Sal, where like when the notifications are just out of control and you can't even keep up anyway.
Yep.
Like I'll see one here and there, but yeah, like it was. You know why? Because my mentions was just Chief fans and Bengal fans yelling at each other, and just I can't do this. I don't have the bandwidth to take part in this right now with all of you. So yeah, and Barnwell, by the way, his summary at the end was. There's one guy, like Mahomes did have one of the higher rates of like, I guess, he does have a lot of picks called back. It's just not a crazy amount. The guy, though, that has more penalties called or interceptions called back because of penalties is actually Burrow. So that's kind of where that all fell into. So
do you actually have notifications turned on? Like when you get a tweet, how about you, Nate? When you guys get a tweet, someone tweets at you. Do you have like a notification on your phone that says that?
Nope.
Not on my phone. No. I would have to click notifications on Twitter and then I would see them, but I don't get an alert every time. You know, I think what do you do? Cuz can you set it up where like if you're following somebody they reply to you or they like something then you get it just from them? I think you can.
Oh, listen. You could set it up where if you want like people tell me they have like whenever I tweet something, there's a notification. I can set it up for whenever Adam Schefter tweets something, I have a notification on my phone.
I have insiders. That's it.
Okay.
Like, I probably have 10 insiders that I get those notifications for.
And then whenever you get anything, a like, a mention, you can have that. I know people, they will remain nameless here. I know people who I work with in the Bills media room, and it's fine. It's because for their job, they feel that it's necessary. Totally cool.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm with people, my colleagues, and their phones are always getting these. I'm like, what is going on? and it's just simply people replying to their tweets or mentioning or liking, and I'm like, wow, never do that. What are you doing?
No, I would. That would be.
It would be all day.
That'd be too.
Now it's not like a noise on their phone, but they get the push notification just comes in, but it's always going, and I'm like, holy cow, I could never do that.
Listen, my notification center on my phone is already like. Nate, yes, look at the amount of notifications I have. Like, it's already out of control. Adding Twitter to it would just be chaos, I think.
Yes.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. So, all right, Sal, we're back into the week, and we mentioned earlier that Kevin Adams is talking today, but so is Sean McDermott, right, at noon, and then normal practice. Like, will this be a normal week from here on, just with a little difference because it's a Monday game?
Yes. They will practice today and tomorrow like a normal Wednesday and Thursday, essentially. I mean, I don't know the exact practice structure necessarily,
sure.
But it's a normal for us in the media. It is a normal Wednesday and Thursday with McDermott speaking at noon, practice at 12:30, and then Josh Allen and select players available, usually Terrell Bernard, but obviously if he's going to be injured, he won't be speaking today, but Von Miller usually does, whatever, on a Wednesday. Tomorrow, same thing. You know, we'll hear from, let me just look at, see if I have it right here. Tomorrow, like, we'll tell you exactly who we'll hear from. Nobody speaks to us before practice, but we have practice cover 12:30. The difference this week, guys, is two things. Number one, the Bills will not have anything on Friday, but they will practice their normal Friday practice on Saturday. Okay, because of Monday practice. So their last, like, kind of light practice, final injury report, that kind of thing. The other difference is there is no injury report until tomorrow because they don't play until Monday. So it's based on kind of when your game is. So the first injury report of the week actually will not come out until tomorrow, even though they're practicing today.
Okay. So, well, let's start there with injuries heading into this week. You mentioned Terrell Bernard. And we had reports and found out about that it wasn't a tear, right? That's a sprain or a strain, at least at this point. And then Taron Johnson, those are top two, right? Is there anybody else that we should really be focused on this week?
Yeah, I think Dwan Smoot is the other one we should focus on. And just so everybody knows, I know it's spelled like Dwayne, it is Dwan. I checked in on that. Just it is Dwan Smoot, and he is also playing possibly. If he makes his debut, it's against his former team. So you'd like to see that. You know, a lot of talk about Gabe Davis and Mitch Morse coming back to Buffalo to face their former teams. Dwan Smoot may be facing his former team. The fact the Bills did not put him on IR and he's missed two games means they were optimistic he'd be back before four games. Well, this is game number three. That would be the guy we're watching this week, I think, more than anything. More than the outside of the other two, I should say. I think Terrell Bernard, we're all going to be understanding that he's not going to play. What that looks like, IR, we don't know. That's the thing we're monitoring with Terrell Bernard. Does he go on IR? We don't know. We know Taron Johnson didn't go on IR, but is he ready to play? That's the other one. So those are the two guys, Terrell Bernard most likely out, I would say, this week. Taron Johnson, is he going to play? What's his week look like? And then does Dwan Smoot return and make his debut?
Terrell Bernard not playing, Sal. Baylen Spector would obviously be the guy to go in there.
He surprised me.
Yeah, he looked good against Miami. Where are you at with him, Sal, and his capability of filling in? Because he's played a little, but he's had injury problems. So, you know, like he could have been someone that, like, you wonder all the hypotheticals you could ask yourself. Like, what would be different in that Chief playoff game last year if Baylen Spector plays? Not to say he's, like, some superstar, but I feel like, right, like Nate said, every little chance we've had to see him, I feel like it's looked like it's been completely fine.
Let's remember the Bills felt good enough about him that he actually started the Pittsburgh playoff game after Bernard got hurt, and couldn't play. And then he got hurt in that game early on trying to recover a fumble. The Bills felt very good about him. I would say the same thing, like, here from my perspective. I think the Bills feel very confident with him as a backup middle linebacker, except for the fact that he's missed time with injuries, and those have been kind of reoccurring throughout his career. If he can stay healthy, I think that they're confident in his ability. He is him and Dorian Williams, and this gets me to a bit of a concern I would have this week, actually, guys, which I'll talk about, but him and Dorian Williams are very similar to me, that they are more like a see ball, get ball type of linebacker, right? Like, they see something, they go, they attack. I think Baylen Spector started every game for any team and played 17 games, I think he'd be amongst the league leaders in tacklers. He is a tackling machine. He knows how to find the ball. He knows how to get there. He knows how to tackle. That is not an issue at all. And I think the Bills are very comfortable with him in that role. They're obviously comfortable with him lining up the defense, wearing the green dot. My concern is I don't think he's that great in coverage. And I also think he's now next to a guy who's not that great in coverage in Dorian Williams. And the Bills, to me, are going to have to figure out a way this week to make sure they do not get hurt from their linebackers covering, because I think Jacksonville will attack that. I think Jacksonville is going to look to say, look, we're going to go after that second level, especially if Taron Johnson's out. And we all know Cam Lewis can fill in, and you know, I think Cam's a really good player. Obviously, he's not Taron Johnson, but now you have your all three, including Matt Milano. Think of the difference between Bernard, Milano, and Taron Johnson versus Spector, Williams, and Cam Lewis when it comes to covering at the second level. And I just think that's an area where the Bills have to really be buttoned up this week. So as far as Spector is concerned, I like him as a player, as a backup, as a guy who's going to go and do everything you need to do, especially on first and second down. When it comes to third down, just have to make sure that you know you're doing some things where you can help him, or he is understanding in a role where you know he's not going to hurt you in coverage. But that's also, to me, Dorian Williams, and that's why I think this week is a week the Bills are going to have to try and make sure they're okay there, because the Jacksonville Jaguars, to me, are going to attack that.
Sal, I want to ask you about the Bills' defensive backfield, and I want to maybe put Taron Johnson to the side. Obviously injured, I think, the first drive or very early in that first game. So we've seen a pretty decent sample size now. That let's hope the sample size doesn't grow. But if it does, I feel pretty confident about Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis. And I like when they go to dime that it doesn't really feel like they go from a team that, like last year when they went to dime, they put Jordan Poyer in that position. And he brought a level of physicality there because he was a little bit bigger, especially last year. But you felt like maybe in the past game, still because of his limitations, you know, athletically, that you could still potentially get burned in the past game. When they go dime right now with the lineup that they have and Ingram and how long he is at nickel and Cam, I don't feel like I guess this is a long way of saying how impressed I've been with Cam Lewis's physicality in the run game, that he reminds me a lot of Taron Johnson, where you bump him down, and if you want to run dime against NFL teams that want to try to throw the ball, especially near the line of scrimmage, they're athletic, they're long, but him and Ingram are both physical. I have just been maybe wowed, to the point of being wowed, how effective they've been when they've been on the field, considering they haven't had a lot of time on the field.
This goes back to the point I wrote about a couple days ago, which is, listen, the Bills have kind of the ultimate great situation here where they have continuity between a front office and a coach, especially on defense. Their head coach, the defensive coach, the defensive coordinator has been here 7 years with them, where these guys have developed into a system where they understand their roles that they've been kind of prepared for. And even so much of the fact that Jamarcus Ingram, while he's normally a boundary corner, that's his natural position, he's been in the system for 3 years now. He understands what his role is as a dime safety. And even, look, guys, Taron Johnson said to us when we were talking to him back in the week of the Pittsburgh preseason game, Taron Johnson said it took him a good 3 years before he knew this defense. Think about that for a second. Taron Johnson said that. He's an all-pro. He said he thought he kind of knew everything. Like, it really took him 3 years where he learned everybody's roles, understand exactly what's going on. Now, when you have a guy like Jamarcus Ingram or Cam Lewis, who's been here 6 years now, and you're developing them, and if it's taking that long, well, if you're changing coaches and you're changing schemes every couple years,
right,
you have to start over again. But Brandon Bean, because he has continuity with his head coach, him and his front office, they can draft a guy or they can sign a guy like Jamarcus Ingram as a UDFA and say, we're going to play the long game here. We're going to develop this guy. And when it's time for him to play, he's going to be ready to play because he's been here. These things should not be surprises anymore to Bills fans when players come in and play, because they've been developed to play. They've been here for this many years, and they understand the system. They understand what's asked of them. Just because they're backup players, and they are, they're not the quality or the level of the starter, doesn't mean they can't play and be effective in the NFL in a scheme that they're very familiar with. I am also very impressed. You guys know what I feel about Cam Lewis. I've talked about him for years. You know what I feel about Jamarcus Ingram. I've been pounding the drum for Jamarcus Ingram for 2 years. I've been saying, as you guys know, Joe has heard me say it for 2 years. This guy is long. He can play corner. And what did I always say, Joe? He has flexibility to play safety. I'm just stunned that he was able to step right in to play that role immediately and be effective as he has been. That's not his normal role. And what I wonder is, with Cole Bishop now developing and getting to a point where he can play, and Mike Edwards now healthy where he can play, I mean, it's a good, quote-unquote, problem to have, but how do they work all of that if they want to, you know, think about those guys being on the field in those roles?
That was actually the next thing I wanted to get to with you a little bit while we're on the kind of the secondary is Bishop. Bishop was on the field for a couple of plays at the end on Thursday when the game was out of hand. He did have one pass breakup in the end zone to get a tackle, too. And right, like you said, Edwards is healthy. Hamlin, though, Sal, like, I don't know. There haven't been like a big play. There hasn't been like a glaring, oh man, you see Hamlin on that one? They got behind him. Like that hasn't happened yet. So I think that's going well through two games, him being in there. And I do wonder, like, I don't know, like, will they want to see more from Bishop or Edwards at some point? How does that look? Or will they just say, you know, as long as Hamlin's in there and it's going well, we're just not going to touch it?
Yeah, I wonder the same thing. And I think we've all seen now, and it's still, right, Joe? I mean, when people see DeMar out there, Bills fans, there's still a bit of, okay, like there's trepidation, right? Like, okay, it's gone good for two games, but at some point, aren't a lot of Bills fans just waiting to tell you, oh my God, see, that's why I don't want him back there, right? I mean, doesn't it feel like that? Mm-hmm. And it's because why? DeMar Hamlin is not the kind of player that's going to be making plays on the ball. I mean, that's just not what he does. He can get there. He can make a play on the ball, but that's not his game. He's not Micah Hyde. He's not making the play Micah Hyde made against the Patriots, you know, in the playoffs. That's not his game. When Jordan Poyer was doing his thing, you know, a few years into his Bills career, and the way he would be making plays on ball, he's physical, DeMar Hamlin is, and he understands the defense, and he keeps things in front of him. And again, I'll go back to, why did the Bills start DeMar Hamlin and feel comfortable about it? Because they feel very comfortable about him knowing this defense and understanding it after 4 years and the concepts of it and the communication of it that goes along with everybody in concert. Do not underestimate how big that is in a league now where we all see it, we all talk about it, you guys have talked about it, in a league where it's really vitally important now to keep everything in front of you because that's what everybody's doing. That's actually DeMar Hamlin's strength. Like, DeMar Hamlin's strength is, I'm just going to make sure I'm doing my job and keeping everything in front of me. And, you know, if you want to beat me deep, I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm doing everything I can to put myself in position to not let that happen. He's not going to take risks. He's going to just make sure that that's, to me, actually the way this league is going is fitting into exactly what DeMar Hamlin does as a safety to allow the Bills to put him back there.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Bills and Jaguars on Monday Night Football at 7:30, because that's going to be a Monday Night doubleheader. I think Bengals Commanders is the other one that'll be a little bit later on in the day. So, Sal, that matchup, and also turning to their offense a little bit, like they haven't really needed, I think they've really needed their passing offense a lot. They needed it for, what, a quarter to get back into it with the Cardinals in week one. But otherwise, like, Allen's got pedestrian numbers, but not by efficiency. Like, efficiency-wise, he's top of the league. That, though, continues to be a league-wide trend. I saw this take yesterday that I wonder what you think of it, because we have talked about the league trend on this front already, that this could just be early in the season, teams don't play in the preseason, their starters nearly as much, and that, yeah, passing is really down right now, but you're probably going to see it rise as we go through the year. And the Bills would be an example of that, right? Like, the game script in week two, they didn't have to throw the ball. Allen is not going to throw for, you know, 150 yards in a game, probably many more times this season.
Are you confident that it's going to change in the league? You say that pretty confidently. I don't know if I am.
I would think it's going to go up. I probably would not go all the way to, I'm trying to remember who I heard it from. The person I heard giving the take was, it'll go right back to the way it was. I think it'll go up. But I would stop short of saying it's going to go right back to where we were, you know,
Sal,
3 years ago.
And to this point, I mentioned this morning. I think this is, the trend across the league to me isn't necessarily that everyone just decided that they're going to start running the ball because of two high safeties now. I think that schematically that the Chiefs sort of have broken people. Like, every offense is now trying to be yards after catch. They want to throw at the line of scrimmage, get the ball out quick, and let guys run. Like, if you go to the last 2 weeks, you go to Next Gen Stats and go look at the charts of all of the best quarterbacks in the league, they all look the same. Every single one of them looks the same.
These dump downs, right?
Yes.
These 10 and short yard passes.
Bruce Arians is rolling in his proverbial grave. Like, there is no downfield offenses anymore.
Listen, guys, this is back in March, okay? Back in March, NFL owners meetings. We're sitting around at the AFC coaches breakfast. Sean McDermott's sitting at the table. And he said, I'm sitting right next to him. And he said, two high safeties have changed this league. And you're going to have to find ways to get the ball to guys to get it down the field other than just throwing it over the top of them. And he said, there's other ways to get the ball down the field, get it. And then he stood up at the combine and said, there's other ways to get the ball down the field. You don't have to just throw it through the air. You can actually throw it to somebody, have them run with it. Like said, literally, that was the phrasing, something like that. And Brandon Bean backed it up. They mentioned rack and yak several times. Then here comes Sean at the owners' meetings. He says it. And I went over to Sean McVay. I asked him about it. Echoed the exact same sentiment. Just said, yep, absolutely. It's just changed. You have to figure out ways to do it. I go to Andy Reid. Same thing. Brian Daboll. Same thing. I went to some of these best offensive minds in the game while I was at the owners' meetings and asked them this specific thing, what we're talking about. And every one of them said the same thing, which is, yeah, you're not getting things down the field that much. You better figure out a different way. Like, everybody's doing this now. And this is what we're seeing. This has been a plan, guys. This is not... Fans should not think that teams just woke up and in week one said, well, guess what they're doing? We better figure out. No, this has been a plan and a trend for those teams that have been forthright enough to think about it and see it happening for about a year now and even longer. And they have really kind of morphed what they're doing. And the Bills are a team that very much thought about this. And here's the biggest stat that tells me this. I know it's 2 weeks. I get that things are going to change, as we just said. Do you guys know where Josh Allen ranks in yards after catch from his receivers right now?
Ooh, I do not. I know they're always near the bottom.
Out of 32 qualifying quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know they're always near the bottom. So it's got to be higher. It's got to be middle of the pack, maybe, would be my guess.
Seventh.
Okay. Top 10.
Normally, Josh Allen is in the bottom third.
Yeah.
Of yards after catch from his receivers. I can't remember a year where he was not that low. He's always low. That's just not his game. He throws the ball longer.
Yeah.
He throws the ball. His air yards are always farther. He throws the ball where a guy catches it and doesn't have a lot of space to get out. You know, he throws tight windows along the sidelines, whatever it is. Seventh. I know it's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't expect that to change much. I think this is the model the Bills have built. This is what they want, and now we're seeing it come to fruition.
Yeah, that's a good stat. Lastly, Sal, to get to before we run out of time with you, Tom Pelissero yesterday and the Bills working out kickers, Anders Carlson, Cade York. I guess what do you think it means, if anything?
Well, there's two things. Number one is a generality, which is this is not uncommon to see player positions being worked out all year. Teams will bring different positions in all year because they get a baseline knowledge of a player in case there is an emergency to go sign somebody. Could be a quarterback, could be linebacker, could be a kicker. And you say, okay, we just, as every week, they're going to bring in different guys because let's say in week 5, week 10, week 15, your guy gets hurt. You're like, hey, remember we worked that guy out? We got his number. We saw him. Let's call him. Like, it's easy to do. However, the fact that Tyler Bass has had his struggles and two kickers have been brought in, I do not think is a coincidence. It also could be a little... Kind of on notice thing. Not necessarily moving on from him right now. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, though, they're preparing themselves, and also, hey, you know, it's a subtle nudge, I guess, in a way, to Tyler Bass, who would obviously see that happening.
Yeah. Like, hey, make sure you're getting it together here. He had then miss on Thursday. But that's it for the season so far. So, all right, Anders Carlson, Cade York had a bad week one. Like, speaking of, like, kickers that got cut, he was on a team, right? He didn't even get traded in the preseason?
He was traded, and when he was traded, it's so funny as him, because about a month ago when he was traded, someone said to me, why didn't the Bills do this? And I go, he actually has a 75% field goal rate in his career. Tyler Bass is way above that. Yeah. Why would you want to trade an asset for a guy who's a worse kicker?
Right. And then he lasted 1 week with his new team.
Yes, exactly.
Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal. We'll talk later this week.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks.
When we come back, we will talk with Joe Marino from Locked On Bills, his weekly Wednesday visit. We'll look back a little bit on what the Bills did against the Dolphins so well, and then previewing the upcoming matchup against the Jaguars. So stay tuned. Joe Marino on the way next. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary here on...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
WGR.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, throughout the season, just finding different ways to win. You know, whether it's, hey, maintaining the, you know, win up front, rushing the football, and there's going to come time and place when we're going to have to throw the ball 50 times. It's about just being willing to be able to adjust to how the game's being played and being able to dictate the terms also. Know that, hey, we can win any way that we need to. And, you know, watching a guy like Josh and just loving life, no matter whether he's throwing it 10 times, whether he's throwing it 50 times, but just how he was out there having a lot of fun, you know, taking what the defense was giving him and leading out there, not having to do everything was a lot of fun.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady right there, who Jeremy's got the witch meter, the witchometer for Joe Brady. How much of a witch is he? I don't know if we checked in. Did we check in on Friday, Josh? We didn't. I mean, that play call to James Cook for the touchdown on fourth down, like, that was
it's very good.
Witch-like, I would say. It's Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. Jeremy White is off this morning, and for his weekly Wednesday visit, happy to be joined on the Western Hotline by Joe Marino of Locked On Bills and also the Locked On NFL Scouting Podcast. Morning, Joe. Does it feel good every time you do a show with Kyle Krabs after the Bills beat the Dolphins? Because it seems like it happens a lot.
We've gotten used to that. You know, it can be a little awkward to get started, but once we get into it, you know, we find our groove.
Yeah. So Joe of the Locked On Bills podcast, and you can follow him on Twitter as well, at Joe Marino, the Joe Marino. So let's go back to Thursday, Joe. We haven't had you on since the game. So going back a few days, but you did the All-22 review. You had that on your podcast. Just what in the world did the Bills do every time to Miami that makes them look like that? Like, when they, even with all the personnel changes, when you're watching them on tape, like, what is Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage doing to Mike McDaniel that just makes it look so easy?
Well, I think there's two major staples to what the Bills did defensively against Miami. First of all, ran 75% of snaps, two high safeties, middle of the field open coverage. So you're splitting the field in half with two high safeties leveraged over top with four underneath defenders. And so you're challenging Tua to either stay patient and check the ball down over and over again, or if he wants big plays down the field, which he does, that's what that offense is built around, throwing the ball down the field to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. You're going to have to do that, and you're going to have to be really accurate between zones. And that really stresses his accuracy, but also just that ability to challenge tight windows in the middle of the field. And so you do that first and foremost and really challenge his patience, but then also you invite the run. You're giving them light boxes over and over and over again and saying, hey, go ahead, we'll give up some rushing yards. You can have these. And the Dolphins ran it 34 times in a game that they lost 31-10 and trailed, you know, by multiple touchdowns for most of it. They ran the ball 34 times, 22 of those runs out of heavy personnel, which means two backs or two tight ends on the field. And the Bills gave them six or less in the box, which is a light box, 17 of 34 runs. They only gave them four of 34 runs with the stack box, which means eight or more. So two high safeties. We're going to challenge you to be patient. If you want to dink and dunk, you can have some yards. Go ahead and run the ball. We feel like you can have some yards on the ground, but when it comes down to it, we'll be able to tighten the screws and play good red zone defense. And that was the formula, and the Dolphins fell right into it. Bills were able to get a 31-10 win on the road, and Josh Allen threw the ball 19 times. So yeah. It was quite the recipe, and the Dolphins fell right into the script.
Yeah. Would you say it's the type of defense, too, like that how much stress does it put on the Bills' personnel? Because I wondered going into the game, like, hey, how big a test is this for Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin, because it's not Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde anymore in this matchup. And it could look like watching the game that they're not being stressed because they're just not being targeted all that much. But I have to imagine when you're watching the All-22, and I watch some of it too, like they're being stressed on every play, right? So maybe it's a pass of a test for that Bills secondary in this matchup that they're able to at least do it in this particular matchup.
Well, I think when Rapp and Hamlin are the two high safeties, it's a fairly simplified role. Hey, you get half the field, I get half the field, nothing gets behind us. Where I think the stress on them comes, obviously there's really explosive playmakers that Miami has, but to me the stress comes from the disguise elements, right? You need to disguise that you're going to be in that type of defense. And so how they get to the too high middle of the field open coverage is really where I think they're mostly stressed. And sometimes they're not the deep safeties. The Bills will run inverted coverages where the deep safeties buzz down and they drop players into the deep halves. And so to me, the disguise elements is where the stress comes. And the role, once you get there, is fairly simple. And I think that's where the execution of all of these players that really haven't had to play a lot comes in, and they can play at a reasonable level is because their roles are simplified, and it's about the scheme and trusting the leverage of the scheme and that it will work, and that over time the offense will eventually get behind the sticks or make a negative play, and you know they're going to be in a tough situation to get out of it. So it's a simple defense, but it's the disguise elements within it that I think that's where it becomes challenging for those safeties.
One thing, Joe, that I've noticed, at least since Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram have been in the lineup, is, you know, like being able to run, six defensive backs out on the field, almost like the three safety looks to a certain extent. Like the versatility of this defensive backfield, I think might be the most impressive in Sean McDermott's time, because I look at the two outside corners right now, to me, are two of the best pure zone corners in football. Doesn't mean I think that they're the best overall corners in football. I think for this scheme, you have two ideal boundary guys, and now you've got a nice mix of a guy like Jamarcus Ingram who could play inside and outside. You have a guy in Cam Lewis that can play like that dime linebacker role or the nickel role. And then you've got safeties right now, I think, with also a lot of versatility. To me, this is, I guess I didn't come into this season, Joe, looking at this defensive backfield saying, wow, the versatility, this might be one of the better groups in the league. I think it was a little bit more unknown for me, but I've walked away the first 2 weeks thinking they've been able to sustain big injuries, but when they get healthy, which they will get healthy, they have one of the best versatile pass defenses and ability to cover in zone then I don't know a lot of teams that can throw out that. Like, the Ravens are another one, maybe, but like the versatility and what they'll be able to run defensively when they're fully healthy is, I think, really, really fun and interesting for me.
Yeah, I think it's a good call out, Nate, and I think that speaks to their ability to disguise and being able to play guys in different spots because they are interchangeable. You do have a guy in Jamarcus Ingram that's been trained to play multiple spots. Same with Cam Lewis and, you know, Hamlin, a guy that I thought maybe could be a slot at one point in his career, and Taylor Rapp certainly thrives as kind of a low safety but can play in some of those deeper zones. And when you have the corner pair of Douglas and Benford to stabilize that piece of it, I think you can be creative with how you space the field with the rest of your options. And I think that the another benefit to the players that the Bills are leaning into is, while they are reserves that haven't played a ton, they've been in the system. This is year six for Cam Lewis. I mean, that's crazy, right? Yeah. Year six, he's been in the scheme. Jamarcus Ingram, year three. Bailon Spector, year three. And so when you can call upon players that maybe they're not game tested, but certainly know what you want to be and what you want to do and how you want to do it, I think that's really allowed the depth to shine through two games.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills on the Wester Hotline. All right, Joe, how did Bailon Spector look to you in his first action of the season? And if Terrell Bernard's going to miss a game or two, what would your expectation be of Spector getting the Bills through a couple of games?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about Bailon Spector is that I think he's a good player. I watched him at Clemson, of course. I thought he was good, and I think he's been good when he's had chances to play in preseason. But he's just been injured, right? And so you never really got an extended opportunity to watch him play meaningful snaps for the Bills. But I think the skill has always been there. Very athletic, good size, and plays with a lot of urgency. And I think the big thing for him has just been availability. And even last year, when the Bills went to some of the three linebacker looks occasionally, you know, that was the guy. They brought in Bailon Spector to be the third linebacker. That there's a reason this team has kind of stuck with him through, you know, lack of availability. And so this is his chance. This is his opportunity. I think he's a good downhill player. I think he's a good processor. Size, athleticism is certainly there. I think the real drop-off with these linebackers, when it's not Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano in the field, is that the coverage just isn't as good. And that's not because these other players are bad in coverage. It's just the ceiling of Bernard and Milano in coverage is off the charts. Right? That's potentially the best pair of coverage linebackers in the NFL. And so you always worry about that drop off. And so I think you lose something there, but I think the downhill ability is really strong, and I think the range is really strong. And so if you can help them with how you scheme around them, and the Bills have done that, they really, for the last year plus, they've really had to kind of figure that piece out. I think that's helped their linebackers overcome some coverage deficiencies. But as long as they can maintain that, I think that Bailon can be a serviceable fill-in, and hopefully he can stay healthy.
Yeah, that I'm thinking about the next matchup. We can talk a little bit about the Jaguars here to wrap, Joe, with Monday's game coming up. Evan Ingram actually missed last game, right? He got hurt in warm-up, so I guess we'll see if he plays, but that could be a big break if he's either limited or doesn't play against the Bills. And even the Jags in general, I wonder what you think of them, because here they are again. Like, they're just a weird team to me. Like, I feel like they've got talent. I feel like their quarterback, I see five clips a week of, like, look at this pass Trevor Lawrence made, but then I look up and, oh, he had, you know, they lost and he had 210 yards. Like, I just feel like they never really put it all together.
It's a bad situational football team. And I feel like Doug Peterson, the more his fingerprints get on an operation, the worse it gets. You know, I think they caught lightning in a bottle in 2017 with the Eagles. I mean, that's all that was. But the more he's involved, the worse they get. He's got talent. Jaguars are very talented on both sides of the football at every position. Just Doug Peterson, just, I don't know, the vibes are bad, right? I think that's such a weird thing to say, but, like, listen to the guy talk. It sounds like Chan Gailey back when he was about to get fired, right? I mean, just very strange. Talking about getting his team motivated to play in week two, all the new talent that they brought in, it's kind of concerning. And so I think Doug Peterson's probably a super overrated head coach, and situationally, I mean, they just get in their own way all the time. I mean, look at the streakiness of the team, too. I mean, over his tenure in 2 years, and win a bunch of games and just completely fall off. And, you know, the next year it's the opposite of that. They're really streaky, and they play bad situational football. I mean, they should have beat the Dolphins by 3 scores. They blow it. They had Cleveland. They had them. But safety end of the game. I mean, just really, really goofy situational moments over and over again. I think they have a bad head coach.
All this to say, they still seemingly have the Bills' number. The last couple of years, they really have the Bills' number.
It's so weird, right, Joe? Like, I don't want to reach too much to say that's predictive, but if for a Bills fan that saw Urban Meyer beat this team 9-6, like, it's you're always going to have a little
scar
hesitation, I think.
Yeah, literally the Jaguars at their worst against the Bills at their best. Somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow they found a way to win that game. It's a little bit like this 49ers Vikings thing that seems to be just the 49ers just that's their kryptonite. So I like the Bills with extended rest against a sloppy Jags team, but you got to go out there and do it. And I think there are some demons to work out here against Jacksonville.
I'll have you covered going up to Monday on Locked On Bills. Appreciate the time, Joe, as always, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Joe Marino, at the Joe Marino, if you want to follow him on Twitter, the NFL Scouting Podcast he does with Kyle Krabs. Also, good stuff there as well. All right, when we come back, we'll look at some of the stuff that's on the line tomorrow in the Thursday night matchup. We'll, of course, talk more about that tomorrow, but I got a thought on Patriots-Jets that I want to squeak in when we come back, because we got Kevin Adams coming up at 8. The Sabres general manager will speak live with the media ahead of Sabres training camp, which begins first practice today. Stay tuned. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, this is WGR. Sabres GM Kevin Adams coming up after this timeout. His press conference to open the Sabres season, open training camp. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. By the way, Joe Marino last segment mentioned like Cam Lewis is not like a young player. He's been with the Bills for 6 years. You want to know how long Cam Lewis has been playing football? His first start for UB, he went up against Christian Hackenberg at quarterback, Chris Godwin at wide receiver, Saquon Barkley at running back, and Mike Gesicki at tight end.
Didn't they almost beat them?
27-14?
Yeah, that was the...
I wouldn't say it's almost beat them, but that's about as good as UB's ever going to do against
I was thinking about
team.
The Ohio State game, one with Khalil Mack took pick six.
He had a touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
Very quickly, tomorrow's game, super interesting, right?
Yes,
I mean, we're rooting for the Patriots, right?
Yes.
Because but the consequence is Patriots win tomorrow. Are you taking them seriously to be like a playoff team this year?
No. The Patriots?
Okay.
No.
I just wonder. You know, I'm just wondering. They'd be 2-1 with a loss in overtime. All right. We're good then.
Yeah, I'm not
If we're not worried,
though.
When would you get worried? Like a month in if they're still doing it?
I don't think I'll be worried at any point.
All right.
Because their schedule is really difficult.
I'm not worried about the Jets.
No.
I think what's the spread? I'm going to bet the Patriots tomorrow. I'm going to bet the Patriots. Right. And the under.
Game's gonna Definitely be
like,
the under.
It's going to be like 19-16. That's going to do it for this hour. We'll have Kevin Adams when we come back, so stay tuned. Sneaky Joe DiBiase and Nate Geary. Jeremy is off today. We'll talk some Sabres, and we'll get back to football, of course, because I want to get to James Cook. And I've got a question about him and how high his season could go. All pro, even potentially? Like, what's the level, the ceiling for him? We'll get to Kevin Adams when we come back here on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.